This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Welcome everybody. My name is Ronald Peterson. For those of you that don't know me yet, the new visitors, I'm not a pastor. I'm one of the older people in the house. and we're quite few today, as most of the fit guys went on the dash. And we'll see on Facebook how it went. I've not seen any pictures yet, but hopefully they enjoyed it. But thanks for being here today. I hope that God will bless you and will truly be just a place for you to meet God and see Him and see Him in His Word. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace, your amazing love in our lives, Lord God. We just want to thank you, Lord, for every opportunity that we have of meeting you, seeing your face, and experiencing your Holy Spirit, Lord God. And that small part that we can give back to you, Lord God, where we just can come and worship you and give you the glory and the honor you deserve, Father. We thank you, Lord, that our hearts can be open, Lord, in this place, Lord God, that we can lay aside every distraction, every symptom, Father, is trying to keep us from you, Father. We just want to proclaim that you are Lord of all and that you are God in our lives. And Lord, we just want to proclaim the name of Jesus in this house, Lord God, that your name will rule and reign over every circumstance, over every dead area in our lives, Lord God, over every dead work in our lives, Father God, that you would come and reveal your truth to us, Lord God, in such a way, Father, it will truly allow us to move closer to you and experience you in a new and amazing way, Father. We thank you, Lord, that your heart is for us, Lord God, and you want to bless us amazingly and abundantly, Father, far more than we deserve, Lord God, and it's only through that grace that we deserve, Father, that we can stand before you, Lord God. There's no other way that we can deserve this, Lord God, but it's a grace, it's a gift, Father, that you give unto us, and we can just extend our hands to you and say, thank you, Lord, for that gift, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for life that is beating within our hearts, Lord God, that you created us to be, Father, in this place, in this moment, in this space. And Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, for everything that you will still do in this year before it's completed, Father. And just the preparation already for next year and the things to come, Lord God. And we just want to stand in faith, Lord God, for everything that will still happen in this place and in your house, Father, that we're able, Lord, to abide in your word and in your will, Father, that we can be obedient, Father, to the point of death, Lord God. It's the same as what Christ did on the cross for us. And that is by that salvation that we can stand, Lord God. There's no other name that we can call, Father, by which we can be saved, Lord God. And it's only through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we can stand in this place and proclaim that you are our Father and we can have a relationship with you. And that is all that we can do, is just to honor you and glorify you for that, Father. And thank you for a relationship that is deeper than we can fathom, Lord God. And that a God of the universe that created everything we see wants to come in and dwell in us and be part of our lives and wants us to be part of his. And that is just an amazing story that we are part of, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read from Luke, quite a long verse this morning. So those of you with Bibles that want to read along, you can just turn to Luke 5. I just want to get this up and running. Maybe I must do what Sias always does, stand up and greet somebody next to you that you've not greeted in a while. But you can quickly say hello to somebody you've not seen or greeted yet. Such an amazing part of being part of God's world, because you start preparing for something like a sermon and you always have this question, God, am I on the right path? Am I on the right track? Am I sharing that something from your heart? And it's like always God is faithful. It's just in intercession, then people start praying. You say, wow, I haven't shared anything with them. And they basically just telling it from your heart as well. And it's like an amazing thing to serve God and in a body that people can confirm and affirm and build up and say, but God, He's in control and He wants to share something with you today. And I hope it will truly bless you like it's blessed me as well. And it's something that I think we all are wanting to hold on to today, and that's hope. Hope of maybe the year ending, hope of your leave starting sooner. Even Adrian also said he hopes his leave doesn't end. But we unfortunately will not be that fortunate. I think very few people will have that opportunity to have the leave never end. But it is something that is alive within us, in every one of us. There's something that you can sometimes see in Christians. There's just something different about them. There's something that you cannot describe. And so many people want to emulate. You can see this through all scripture, that people want to copy Christians when they've not made the choice to accept Christ into their lives. And they are not able to do that because something has not changed within their hearts. And that's something so simple that we as Christians sometimes overlook, and I just sit back and say, but God, why am I thankful for you? What am I thankful to you for? Is that now correct? No. But it's, what am I thankful for? What you've done in my life, the changes that you've made. Now, I've accepted Christ into my life a long while ago, but I just reflected back on what my life was like before inviting Christ into my life, and just the testimony in the road that I walked afterwards. And the way that He changed everything, and so much that He's changed within me, so many things that I've not asked for, some things that I cannot explain, things that is just amazing to behold and to see Him working in us. And so many times we come together as a church and we just come to this point where we start flowing together. And there was such a beautiful picture that we had this year as a church standing up, being part of everything, everybody pulling together, being part of a team, of a body that's walking towards a common goal and a common point. And that is just some place that we truly need to emulate Christ. Because we look at this world and just truly realize that there are so many things that is so wrong. So many things that we actually have to do something about. So many times I look at the news and I think, God, is there something that I can do? Is there some way that I can get involved? Is there something that I must contribute or change in order to help this or change this? And so many times I just get this answer, say, but you're doing it. You're doing what you're supposed to do. Just keep doing it. Just be faithful. Don't let go of what you have started, basically. And it's just reminding us of that, the journey that we've started. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's amazing. You just can't get enough of it. Other times you start doubting and questioning, but God, why did this happen? Why is this going in this direction? I don't understand. I don't follow your understanding. And in my case, I sometimes try to think, but God, how do you think about this? How will you approach this? And then I just have to humble myself, but your thoughts is not my thoughts. Your understanding is far higher than I can ever comprehend. And I just have to let go and say, God, your will be done, not my own. And I have to stand back and say, but God, this is you. And that is basically a part of what I want to share with you today. And it centers around hope. The hope of Christ within us. And also the needs of the world out there. And so many times, like I said, when we look at the news and there's so many needs that you just ask, but God, how do we solve this? But the needs were the same back in the time when Jesus walked on the earth as well. And I want to read quite a long verse with you. And after that, we'll continue. From Luke 5, from verse 21 to 43. A girl restored to life and a woman healed. Now, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell by his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now, a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians, she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, he turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But the disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." While he was speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who had said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? This child is not dead, but sleeping." But they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, and they entered where the child was lying. Then he took the girl by the hand and said to her, "Talita kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. Now this is an amazing part of Scripture where Jesus just does something amazing. And we have an expectation of what is supposed to happen, what will happen. And things doesn't always pan out the way that we think. But as I started on this sermon, I wanted to go in a different direction, but God just showed me something else that I wanted to share with you. And it basically starts where we are in the world, we have many needs and many aspects of what we have an expectation for. And the same was for this woman and for the daughter, because there was a need for healing and complete restoration. But that need was not met in this earth, because they came to a point where they realized that I will not be healed. My daughter will not be healed. She's going to die. And that realization, I think, is tough for any parent or for a person that is sick, that has been maybe given a bad news of a terminally ill sickness. And that is something that we all can relate to. We've all experienced something or other in that line. And it's that point where when you look to the world and say, but there's nothing that can be done. There's nothing that can change the circumstance or the situation. But there's one simple truth that God reveals to us through His Son. That there is something about Him. There is something that God wants to do to change our lives. And this is what this woman, this man realized, because there was some aspect, there was some news that they heard, that there was a man going about healing people, bringing hope. And that was an aspect that brings us to this point that we suddenly realize there's hope. There's still hope, no matter what the circumstances. And it was amazing to see this woman and this man go and say, but this is something I need to do. And this is the aspect that we sometimes lose hope in this world, because there is none. There is nothing that can be done in certain circumstances. And that brings us to this place, so that as soon as we receive this truth of who Jesus is, suddenly there's a hope, there's an expectation. But that hope cannot just be let go of. If that father or that woman basically said, but I heard of this man, there is hope, and just said, I will wait for this hope, chances are that girl would probably have died, and that woman would probably have still suffered the same sickness or illness that she had. But there was something that changed within them, because they had a hope, they had a realization that there's something, and they stood up and they pursued that hope. And that is such a beautiful example of faith to me. Where hope is pursued, faith arises and allows us people to experience something. And we can see that in that woman and that father, because they didn't wait with that hope within them, and that hope didn't die within them. They basically stood up and said, I will take this hope. The sliver of a chance I will take and say, but there is something that God wants to do here. And that is something that we all have to explore, because either there's a truth that we hope for, and many times we look at this world and realize, but there's so many aspects of this world that is completely false and untrue, and we put our hope in the wrong things, and we come up short every time. My experience, I don't know about you, but I've put my hope in the wrong thing so many times, and then I realized, oh, made the same mistake again. Sorry, Lord. You are the only hope. You are the only person that I can trust. The only truth upon which my hope can be hinged on. Because that in turn brings faith. Because similar to what this woman and this father experienced was that there was something, an expectation that God wanted to change. It was not just letting go and saying it will be the way it should be, but going to where there was an expectation that God is being using somebody that is able to do and bring change. And that person was Jesus. That changed everything. For a woman that is small, I just wanted to touch the garment of his robe. Something so insignificant, yet she was healed instantly, and she herself realized it immediately, that something changed. And that's where Jesus stood still and said, but something happened here. Not just going with the flow of the people and going to where this final destination was, but saying, something changed. We have to stop and acknowledge this change. Who was this person? And the woman in fear, thinking that she will know there's now some form of punishment because I did this in secret, just fell before him and said, but it was me. This was my circumstances. This was my desire. This was my problem. This was my hope. And instantly he said, Your daughter, you are healed. Go in peace. And in that time, then the other people came and said, listen, your daughter is dead. There is no hope anymore. There's nothing that can be done. Release the teacher that he can continue. But still there was that hope that Jesus basically showed us that there is more than hope. There's something more that we can trust for. Even when we don't even see it ourselves, he is able to perform so much more, to do so much bigger things than we can hope for. And that is where he just stepped in and said, but don't worry, just trust God. We are going there now. And so many times I think we lose that focus. We look at our circumstances, look at our situation and say, but there's no hope here. There's nothing that can be changed, nothing that can be undone. And so many times we forget to say, but to look to Jesus and say, is this situation done? Is there no hope anymore? And waiting for the answer, because sometimes he will surprise us and say, but no, this is not the end. This is not the final story in this verse. Not the final verse in this story. And just to say, Jesus, show me the way. I will follow you. What you will do, I will do. I will obey. If it's throwing out a bunch of wailing, sobbing people out of my house to see what you can do, then I will do it. Because I think it's quite, for a father to hear the news, I think there was an expectation my daughter will die, and to receive the news, and then going back to your house, knowing your daughter is dead, and now what does Jesus want to do? But there's a truth that they've heard, that Jesus has done amazing things. He has changed circumstances when there was no hope. And that's when a father basically stands back and says, God, do what you want. I want to be obedient. I want to trust in God for circumstances that that does not seem to be, that does not seem it can change. And yet God changes those circumstances. And that's part of what hope for us always, I just realized that hope is something you can hold on to. But it's not only something we can hold on to, it's something we must pursue. And that hope that is alive within us, that Christ has resurrected within us and brought us into life, it just gives us a new understanding of it is not something that is that we can just hope for. It is something we must pursue in that hope. And that in turn brings us to a point where our faith is tested. And when something like this, a miracle happens, something amazing happens, our faith is stirred. Our faith is built up because we have a testimony. And that leader basically, in his heart, when everybody was turning against Jesus, I think, what could he do? He could not say anything because this man saved his daughter's life when he knew she was dead. There was nothing that he could say against this man. And so many times we have to just let Jesus come and stand amongst us and say, what is to happen in this space? What has to happen in our hearts? What has to change? What hope do I still cling to, hold on to? And that is something we have to pursue and by faith just stand and not relent. In Hebrews 11 verse 6 it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And it's such an amazing picture of how God is sought by somebody, and he rewards them. He brings them health. He restores life. And that for us is who Jesus is. He restores us and brings us to a place where we can understand and know him completely and have relationship with God the Father that is just the testimony of his love that he wants to show us. And this was a part of James 2 verse 26 that I always read, and it just brought new understanding to me because it says, therefore, as a body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. And I always understood this quite differently because it's for me that from your faith works comes. But faith, which is hope within us, forces and compels us to do something and respond to this hope and pursue this hope. And it's something that allows us to do something with that hope, with the faith that we have, that we're supposed to pursue. And say, God, that you are everything that we have, everything that we want, everything that we can hope for. And so many times we get caught up in this world. So many times we get caught up in work, family issues, problems, wherever. And we just lose sight of that focus and say, but God, what am I supposed to do in this circumstance? So many times I find myself at work and I have no idea what to do. And I just start to pray because I can't do anything else. But then the miraculous happens. Something changes. God reveals something to me. He gives me a dream, something, and I find a solution. And so many times I've heard of this testimony where people sat in, I know Sias always spoke about this, where he sat in this huge meeting in an IT, basically started in the IT department. These people, the managers, was asking him about ideas, how to take this company forward. And he was just like, what? And he started praying in tongues. And God just gave him ideas. And as he gave the ideas, he spoke to them. And they just said, what? That's amazing. Let's go with that. And that's just part of Sias' testimony as well. And for all of us, it's the same. There's supposed to be a testimony in the way that we follow Jesus. And that is always the part that was so amazing for me is the way that Jesus explains himself in John 14, verse 6. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus is the way to the Father. He shows us how to have that relationship with God and be intimate with him. And it's not just something that we do there every Sunday. It is something that we do at home, that we can have quality time with God. It should actually manifest at home first. And then when you come to church, this is where it culminates in a huge celebration of saying what God has done for you. something that God revealed to you, a revelation that God gives to you for another person or for the church. We're not supposed to come to church and get revelation here. Yes, we do. It's not bad. But we're supposed to come here and say, God, what is it that you want me to share? What is it that you want me to glorify you for? So many small things that we just have to look to God and say, but God, here I am. Use me in whatever way. And Jesus is that amazing truth of God's love for us. There's so many questions about people that are asking, who is God? What is his heart? And Jesus is the physical manifestation of that love. For he is part of history. No one can refute that. Even the atheist has to acknowledge that Jesus was part of history, just as like Caesar was. And there's more proof of who Jesus is than anything else. And that's such an amazing place where we can stand and say, but Jesus, he is the Son of God. Now many people won't want to argue that, because how is that possible? I'm not claiming I can understand it completely or know everything, but I can hold on to that by faith and say, but he is the Son of God. Because it's only through that way, in that way, he was able to do what he did on this earth. To perform the miracles that he did. To do the things that he did. And through our faith in him, we are able to do the same. I'm lacking in many ways in the things that Jesus did. I just realize I have to grow so much more. I have to grow so much more faith in many regards. I think all of us has to. But it's just that once you enter into this love relationship, everything changes. I remember from my first steps as a Christian how God challenged me with paradigms I had, issues I had with my father. And think God just said, but listen, just go on this foundation course. And I thought, but what will this change? And as you go through this process, God just reveals something to your heart. And people there with empathy, people with understanding, people with the Holy Spirit just to say, but I can see this in your life. I can experience this in your heart. And you just have to say, well, God is doing something here and I have to either run away or submit. And that just allows God, if you have that heart, to understand that he loves us. It's not a place where you have to run away. It's a place where you have to submit and bow your knee and say, God, do your will. I will let you do what you have to in my heart and change me the way you want to, not the way I want to necessarily. And God is so faithful. And he just changes us from glory to glory. And that is something I think we all have a hope for. And the hope that we're supposed to bring to the world as well. That there's something more that they can expect. A hope that is above anything that they can understand. But we first have to take the truth to them to help them realize what the truth is. And then let the truth set them free. It's not us. It's God, and only God, that can change people's lives. It's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. And we can just proclaim the goodness of God. At least in my life, I can also do that. So if there's anybody here that feel that they want to, they need prayer, please be bold and say, I want to pray with you guys. Just come to the front. We would love to pray for you. And then if anybody has got anything to share on their heart, you're more than welcome to come to talk to me quickly and share it with anybody. Okay, let's just close our eyes and pray. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, Father, and I hope that you birthed within us, Lord God, and even when we got stuck, Father God, you were not stuck, Lord God. You were able to find us in the place where we were lost in sin, Lord God, and you found a way to reach out to us, to touch our hearts, Lord God, to bring a change in our hearts and our minds, Father, that we are able, Lord, to have a relationship with you, to come into relationship with you, and accept you as our Lord and Savior. Father, that we're able to stand in this place and acknowledge you, Father, for everything that you've done, for everything that you've said and spoken over our lives, Lord God, which is the truth, Lord God, that sets us free, Father, from any bondage of sin and breaks the yoke of sin, Father. And we want to glorify you for that, Lord God. Father, we want to pray for the hope that lives within us, Lord God, that we're able, Lord, to respond to that hope, Lord God, to whatever you place within our hearts and our minds, Lord God, that we're able, Lord, to say that this is the hope that I'm pursuing, Lord God, that we can stand in faith and hope for that, Lord God, and not only hope, but pursue it as well, Father. We thank you, Lord, that our hearts are in such a place, Lord God, that we are able, Lord, to hear your voice, Father, and be obedient to your commands. Father, we bless your name, and we glorify you for every opportunity that we've had in this year and every opportunity that still lies ahead in this December. But we also thank you, Lord, for the new opportunities that will arise in the new year to come. Father, we just pray, Lord God, for those that will not return to us in this year, Father, that you would be with them, Lord God, that you would protect them, and you would bring them back safely, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you are able, Lord, to do so much more than what we are able to think or understand, Lord God. And we just want to submit to your will, Father God. And we just want to say, Lord, that we love you, Father, and we just want to live for you, Father, in the way that is worthy, Father, of the testimony of who you are. And Lord, we want to glorify your name for that. Lord, we just want to pray, Father, over every person in this place, Lord God, that requires healing, Father, in whatever aspect, Lord God, that you would touch them now, Father, that you would bring healing to them in the name of Jesus, Lord. For those that are carrying burdens, Lord God, we just pray, Father, you would enter in those circumstances and release them of that burden, Lord God, that they are not able to carry it on themselves, Lord God, that they're able, Lord, to lay it aside, Father, and see, Father, the truth in you, Father, and that they are set free, Father. And Father, we just pray, Father, you would truly set them free, Lord God. Even for those that are in chains, Lord God, Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus that you would release those chains, Lord God, where lies have come in, Father, and destroyed the truth, have destroyed, Father, so many aspects of the beauty of who you are, Lord God, that it will just be revealed to them again, Father God. That it will be like a mirror that's been washed clean, Father God, and the reflection is true and beautiful, Father. It's not something that we want to hide away from, Father God, but allow us to see ourselves as you see us, Lord God, not as the world wants to see us or make us believe who we are, Father, but that we stand in the truth and for the truth, Lord God. And in that, Lord God, we're able, Lord, to receive beauty for ashes, Lord God, and see the picture as you see it, Father God, and have a clear understanding of what you have for us, Lord God, what you've predestined for us, and how you still want to use us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.